Welcome back, everybody, to the Fantasy Hockey Hacks Podcast. I'm Devin Davidson, your host. With me, as always, Bruce Gunther and John Enns. Tyler Holman is not joining us tonight. He's actually doing some scouting for us at the Oilers game, so we're going to allow it.
So jealous.
And so far, so good, hey? They're up 3-1 right now, so makes us all happy on the panel here anyway, on the podcast.
For sure.
All right, so this week we are doing our Week 4 waiver wire picks and preview. We'll cover off the hockey news like we always do. We're going to get into some listener questions. We're going to talk about waiver wire pickups. And we'll do our announcement for our contest, our winner. We'll talk about that at the end of the show here. So with that, let's get into it. Let's get into our hockey news for October 25th to the 31st. Starting with Avs defenseman Sam Girard, who is going to miss some time with a head slash neck injury after a hit from Steven Stamkos last Saturday night. Pretty rough, hey? Like, it looked like it hurt. I'm sure you guys saw the clip. Nope.
Okay, nope. Oh, man.
Never mind. It's all good. Yeah, it looked like it didn't feel very good. So, Sammy Girard will be sitting for a little bit. New Jersey Devils have confirmed that goaltender Mackenzie Blackwood has received his first COVID-19 vaccine, Pfizer. So that's good to see there for any Mackenzie Blackwood owners. And I guess, Bruce, you read a bit more about it than I did, right? It wasn't that he was an anti-vax or anything like that. It's just he was doing his due diligence, right?
Yeah, and he had some health issues that he was concerned that he wanted to get checked out before he took everything. And by the sounds of it, everything has worked out because he's got his first shot now. So,
okay, and so that leaves Tyler Bertuzzi as the only unvaccinated player currently playing in the league right now. Corey Schneider was waived by the New York Islanders. The expectation, obviously, well, we have Varlamov came back. I think that was on Sunday. He was on the bench backing up Sorokin. Sorokin's been really good. I'm curious to see how that whole situation plays out if they get Varlamov in there right away. And if it is a tandem, like, do you guys think it's going to be a 50-50 split, or has Sorokin earned a few more starts and a bit more rope at the start of the season here?
It depends on how Varlamov plays, I think. If Varlamov, they play him, he doesn't play well, Sorokin will get more. If Varlamov is playing well, it'll be close to a 50-50 split because they'll want to keep them both fresh.
And Varlamov's a seasoned veteran. He's done really well throughout his career, right? So you kind of want to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Definitely.
Speaking of Tyler Bertuzzi, he became the third player in 25 years. To record 9+ points to the first 5 games of the season. Zetterberg in 2007, 2008 was one, and Brendan Shanahan in 2001, 2002 was the other. So if you were one of those few people that picked up Tyler Bertuzzi early in the season, you're laughing at the moment. I picked him up in our Yahoo League, Bruce. I don't know if either of you managed to grab him in ESPN or not.
No.
Okay. No chance. No crickets. He's on your list, John?
No, he's not on my list. It's just I didn't have a chance to get him, and by the time we realized how great he was, he was gone. So
too late. Yep. The St. Louis Blues have started the season 5-0 for the first time in franchise history, 54 years after shutting out the Los Angeles Kings on last Monday night. Vladimir Tarasenko, he's looked good. Hey, like I'd say he's exceeded expectations at this point.
His trade value goes up more he plays.
Yeah, I think. What I heard, I can't confirm this, but something about he was going to basically be stuck there for the year. Like, I think his GM sat him down and said, look, you're going to prepare to play here for the season, and we'll try and move you in free agency.
Yeah, may as well make the most of it.
So. Oh, yeah.
We're at the draft. Well, yeah, and it looks like he's doing that, and he's playing well. And Jordan Binnington, too. Bruce, you have Binnington in one league, don't you?
Two.
In two? Oh, man, yeah. So you're quite happy then.
I'm pretty happy, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so. He was on my list to grab before we had started drafting this year, and I just didn't manage to grab him, but he's looked good. Austin Matthews scored his 200th NHL career goal against the Carolina Hurricanes, but he hasn't scored a ton in the early going here, hey?
Once. Twice, but the first one got called back.
That's right, yeah. We talked about that on the last episode, him and Bunting. Yeah, so 2 points through 6 games played. It's a pretty rough start for him and the Leafs, to say the least.
Well worth the salary.
They, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
For sure. Well worth the salary. Yeah.
That wasn't tongue in cheek at all. Hey,
not at all.
As an Oilers fan, I'd say they sure miss Zach Hyman. Holy.
Oh, and I think we mentioned this on last week on the podcast too, is how much did the Leafs miss Hyman right now? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, like, he's, sorry, Bruce.
Marner's done essentially nothing, right? And he's not one of those guys that goes into the corner. That's Hyman's job, right? He goes into the corner, he digs those out and out to Hyman, and then either Hyman shoots or over to Matthews, right? And they don't have that right now. So it's tough for the Leafs. They're having issues since they're looking for someone to fill that spot. And I don't know if Bunting or Nick Ritchie is going to fit the bill for what Hyman took with him when he left.
Yeah, I'd say at this point, Bunting's got a better shot at it than Nick Ritchie does. But yeah, time's going to tell for those guys. You know, kind of on the 26th, and this is the big news this week, right? It's been everywhere. I don't want to spend a ton of time on it, guys, but we should touch on it. The Blackhawks held their press conference releasing the details of the investigation of sexual assault allegations on Kyle Beach. Stan Bowman stepped aside as president and general manager. The NHL fined the Blackhawks $2 million for inadequate procedures and mishandling of the 2010 matter related to conduct of former video coach Brad Aldrich. You know, all I really want to say is I commend Kyle for stepping up and for doing what he did. Obviously, that took a lot of guts to do. I think it's good that people have been held accountable. The only other thing I really want to say is I don't understand why Brad Aldrich hasn't been held more accountable in this whole situation. Obviously, people that have been dealt with, you know, needed to be dealt with, but it feels a little bit like he's a forgotten man here, and to me, that's not right. So, Bruce, John, any other thoughts on the situation?
Not for me, no.
Okay. All right, we won't get too much into it. We'll stick to fantasy here today. Speaking of the Blackhawks, Jonathan Toews was in COVID-19 protocol. Unknown how much time he'll miss. He's back tonight, obviously, in that 5-1 win that John is so...
don't want to talk about it. About. I said that before the show.
sorry, John. Nah, sorry, yeah, I just had to mention it.
It happens.
But hey, good for them. They got their first win of the season. Fleury looked pretty good, I guess. Didn't lose.
It's always a bonus.
Yeah, I saw something on Facebook today. Kind of made me chuckle. It was someone threw something out there like Fleury to the Oilers. And would they do it?
Ooh, I'd love it.
And it kind of, you know, made me think. Like, yeah, well, you'd love that. You'd be buying your Fleury Edmonton Oilers jersey like yesterday. Yeah. But you know what? Like, Koskinen has been pretty good.
Isn't that a weird thing to say?
It kind of is, yeah. But it's nice to see, though. Like, you know, you don't have to rely on Smith every single game, right?
Rely on Smith, yeah. Okay.
Which, oh, yeah. I keep forgetting you don't like the guy. all right. Ryan O'Reilly was added to the COVID-19 protocol. He's expected to miss 10 days of game action. Brandon Saad was also added to the COVID-19 protocol. And PK Subban was fined $5,000 for slewfooting Milan Lucic. That was his second slewfoot in, what, like a week? Not even. The first one was Ryan Reeves, and then the second one was Milan Lucic. So, I don't know. Bruce, what do you think? That's pretty pretty ballsy going after those two and slewfooting them.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess.
that's all you got, Bruce?
It's Ryan Reeves and Milan Lucic. It's like, why do they have roster spots? It's like that.
Because apparently they play hockey better than we do.
They do, yeah.
Well,
no,
they
I just
can skate. I can't, so that would already give them a leg up than me. So
there you go. Okay, moving on here then. Nikita Kucherov underwent successful procedure on Tuesday. He's going to miss 8 to 10 weeks of the lower body injury. I guess the biggest recipient of ice time or opportunity here has been Alex Killorn. He was named one of the three NHL stars last week, I believe. So he's been good. I can't remember how many points he had, but he's been very productive in Kucherov's absence. He's been playing on the top line and power play one, so that's good to see. If he's still available, check him out. I think we might talk about him in the waiver wire stuff here soon, but move on for now. Sidney Crosby, this is on the 27th. He was day-to-day. Obviously, now he's back. He's made his return. Good to see there. Chris Letang is also out of COVID protocol. Ryan Dzingo was placed on IR with an upper body injury. Nick Schmaltz is day-to-day. Blake Wheeler's out of COVID protocol now. There's been a lot of COVID, hey, guys. Like, it's, John, you had mentioned last week or the week before, you're just like, man, COVID, hey? Like, we almost need to add another IR spot to the league. Or two.
Agreed.
Like, I just, yeah, it's, it seems like every day there's two or three more being added to COVID protocol. And then the Sharks, too, hey, the other day. How they had?
Yeah, I had, my one team had two Sharks on it, so I'm without both of them for a while.
Jeez, yeah, there's seven, I think.
I think Couture is back and Carlson is still out.
Yeah. Just too bad.
Couture wasn't COVID, though, so.
Yeah, that's true. That's right. Max Domi has been activated off IR, but I saw today, now he was added to the COVID protocol list. man, I feel for the guy. He just can't stay on the ice.
NHL almost needs to bring back their COVID list, their daily COVID list. It's
yeah. Yeah, their taxi crew or taxi, whatever they called it, taxi squad. Yeah, I would probably agree at this point. Zuccarello, same thing. He's in COVID protocol, which is unfortunate. You know, after the start, he was off too. TJ Oshie sustained a lower body injury versus Detroit. He's week to week. I think the, obviously, like Tom Wilson benefits from that. He's going to get some more time in the top six here. And on the power play too, I think, or him or Mantha, but Wilson's been pretty good so far to start the year. Nicholas Backstrom has been skating in full gear, and the next step for him is to join the team for practice in a non-contact jersey. I think I read today he was actually going to travel with the team, but he's not eligible to return until November 6th. Alexander Edler was on power play one during LA Kings practice. He's only 4% owned, but there's been some developments there, and we'll. I talked about him in a tweet today. So Cale Clegg actually has been getting power play time in LA. I don't know if, I think he's only 1% owned, so pretty low ownership, but he does have two power play assists through two games played, and he seems to be the guy to target on D in LA for the time being.
Well, with your top two D guys out, they're gonna get the chances to play. So
yeah, because Doughty's out for 8 weeks, and Sean Walker's done with ACL and an MCL injury.
And if the Kings trend and the downward trend, they won't rush Doughty back either.
No, absolutely not. I dropped Calvin Peterson. Like, if this is too bad, I really did think the Kings were going to be better this year, but they have not looked good so far. Next bit of news here, Joel Quenneville resigned as head coach of the Florida Panthers. You know, a lot of people are upset he coached. Like, what was your thought on that, Bruce? Like, should he have been behind the bench on during that game?
Well, I kind of listened to the way, and what Bettman said today and his availability kind of made sense, right? So he's coached 800 and some games since this happened, right? Is one more game going to make a difference? And
yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, the optics look terrible, but again, it's one more game. Like you said, he coached already 800 and some after it, so it's just one more game, right? And you kind of saw the writing was going to be on the wall for him anyway, so.
Yeah, I think he knew it was coming, so.
Yeah.
Which, I guess the fantasy spin in that situation here is that John Tortorella has been or is being considered as his replacement.
Oh, God, I hope not.
You know, for a team that's off to an 8-1 start now or something, I like John Tortorella. I have a lot of respect for that guy. I know the players love him, but he has a shelf life. And he's a defense-first coach, right? And Duclair and Bobrovsky played for him before, and I can't see them. That's not good for them or for their fantasy appeal.
No, I say you give Brunet the chance, and if the team falters, well, then look at something else later in the season. But I think Grinney's been around with that team long enough, he deserves a chance to see it through.
And things are humming along anyway, right? Like, do they really need to bring anyone else in right now?
I don't think so. Not right now, anyway.
No, that team's just
fine. See
what
happens when they hit some adversity, but for right now, I don't see any need to bring another coach in right away.
Agreed. John, you're on board with that?
Agreed. Yeah. Okay. Mixed reviews on Tortorella, so.
Okay. The New Jersey Devils announced that Jack Hughes is going to miss the next 5 weeks due to his dislocated shoulder.
Boo.
Yeah, I've got him in two leagues. That sucks. Yep.
I've got him in the third, and yeah, it sucks.
I really thought it was going to be sort of a week or two, like, you know, maybe three, just, but whatever. It's unfortunate, but hopefully he gets back to full health and he's okay. And I just hope the rest of his season goes well. He was off to a good start and just be nice to see him finally break out.
Hopefully he can pick up where he left off once he comes back. And
yeah. Morgan Rielly signed an 8-year contract extension with the Leafs, $60 million deal with a $7.5 million AAV. What do you guys think, John, if you're taking that contract, is it, like, given what some of the other defensemen have signed around the league, do you think that's fair value? Did he take a pay cut? What do you think?
I think it's fair value. Just not good for the Leafs. problem is the rest of that team. They're just overpaid. And I think that they got good value for him, but they got to find somewhere to keep money in. Doesn't look like they're really trying that hard. So
no, they're just throwing money around like drunken sailors, but
that team is a cap disaster.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. And to make matters worse, how good is Freddie Anderson playing right now in Carolina?
Yeah. Well, and I think going back to the Leafs, when you're 38, your 38-year-old fourth line center is your best player on your team, making $750,000 a season, what pretty much tells you all you need to know about that team.
Yeah.
I believe Spezza leads the team in scoring.
I was right going to say, you're talking about Spezza, aren't you? Because that's bad, because that guy's trash.
Yeah. But he leads his team in scoring. What does that tell you about the Leafs right now? They are a train wreck.
Yeah, they're in rough shape. But like, if I go look at Austin Matthews and look at some of his numbers here, like, he's not going to be this bad all season. We know that, right? His shooting percentage is way down at 4%.
No, they're eventually going to figure it out, but the Leafs problems surfaced, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when Dubas had the great idea to sign Tavares. Great contract, wrong team.
Yeah, I would agree, Bruce. I think that's kind of where the trouble started.
If they wouldn't have signed Tavares, they probably would have been in a number of Stanley Cup finals by now, but signing Tavares screwed the whole cap thing up for that team and screwed that whole team over.
Yeah. Well, it just affected their depth, right? Like, you're committed to four players, and all of a sudden they don't.
Well, you look now, so they're going to have, so 30, 40. So it's going to be just short of $50 million on five players. Like, that's 2/3 of your cap on five players.
Yeah, you can't work with that. And
hell, if you throw Mrazek in there, it's $50 million on six players.
And Mrazek's on a 1-year deal, right?
No, they signed him for three.
Oh, geez, did they?
Okay. 3 years at 3.8.
But they need to sign Jack Campbell next season, or not, right? Like,
yeah, exactly. But
So yeah, no, they've got more questions than answers right now in Toronto. So, moving on to some better news, Cale Makar had a 2-point night to reach 100 career points for him. Ties him for sixth fastest D-man to reach 100 points. So, Bruce, your preseason crush is killing it. He's doing real well.
I'm happy to see that. I moved on to Adam Fox.
Oh, man.
I couldn't draft Makar this year because everyone picked him up before me, so I just picked up Adam Fox.
Instead. I feel so bad for you.
I'm just
crushed.
But hey, let's talk about Adam Fox because he just signed a big deal here too.
He sure did.
7-year contract with a $9.5 million AAV. I don't even think that's a stretch. Do either of you disagree with that contract?
Not if he keeps playing the way he is, not one bit. That's going to be a steal by the time he gets to the end of that contract.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree. I like it.
Okay.
Short and sweet.
Glad to hear, John.
Short and sweet.
Sounds like Devin Tays or Devon Tays, if you're some people. some people say it wrong. He's going to be back in the Avalanche lineup this week. Sounds like it could be as soon as Wednesday. Jeff Carter also returned to the Penguins lineup on Saturday. Sam Bennett is day-to-day with an upper body injury. John, your boy Nolan Patrick was placed on IR. No other details were provided at the time of writing.
Yeah.
Probably broken nail.
Broken nail, no, his head hurts.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the poor guy just can't catch a break. Like,
no.
I feel for the kid. Like, he's just when you think he's in a good place, he's get going and he gets hurt. It's too bad.
Actually, Vegas, they're just struggling right now. Do you guys see William Karlsson now? He's going to be out 6 weeks.
Broken foot. Yeah. Couldn't happen to a nicer team. I mean, that's too bad. Really, all the business moves or shit moves they made dumping players to get other ones, it's karma. It is.
I'm with you, Bruce. I love it. Bruce is just throwing darts tonight. I love it. This is great. Oh, Bruce, you need more of this. All right. They're in tough, which is great. They're in our division. We don't care. That's fine. So let's move on. Brock Besser, he scored his 100th NHL goal against the Oilers on Saturday night, ending Koskinen's bid for a shutout with like 5 seconds left. That was brutal.
Yep.
Well, at least it wasn't the first shot of the game.
No, but you know what? He actually deserved a shutout that, like, on Saturday. I just fell for him. Like, the guy hasn't had many wins in his time at Edmonton yet, or, you know, even moral victories. It would have been nice to have seen him get the shutout there.
Yeah, it would have helped my fantasy team. I have him in two leagues.
I've got him in one of our leagues here now, actually. I picked him up on Sunday, I think.
All the nasty things you've said about the guy over the last year, and here you are picking him up.
Me or Bruce? Me or Bruce?
Both of you.
Probably both of us, yeah.
Yeah, probably both of us.
You guys are on the Mike Smith hype train.
Well, how can you not be?
The guy's like 40 years old.
Are you an ageist or what?
Basically.
Well, he played unbelievable last year, but that's a short season too. So if the Oilers are going to get anywhere this year, they need Koskinen to play well. Otherwise, they're probably going to be trading for Fleury at the deadline.
That wouldn't be the worst thing.
Oh. Hey, Chicago, we'll give you Smith and Koskinen for Fleury.
Yeah, if they can make the cap, if they can make dollars work, go for it. I think they'd be more likely to keep Smith, though, and trade Koskinen, just given that Koskinen's contract is up, and dollar-wise, I think it works better, right?
You'd have the oldest tandem in the NHL.
Well, if they can still play, I'm okay with that.
That's true.
But Koskinen, he's at a .930 save percentage in 6 games played so far with 4 wins.
He's been playing well. That's
Like you said, Bruce, you got him in 2 leagues. I've got him in 1. If he keeps playing like that, I don't see how you can't play. Like, how do you not play him, right?
Well, exactly, right? Smith is hurt, so you got to play him. You might as well find out now. He's definitely improved over last year. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. And I think they talked about that too, right? In Edmonton, you guys saw part of that press conference, right? And we talked about it. Jim Matheson was on his case saying nobody wanted him there. It's like, what are you doing? The guy just wants to play and he doesn't need to be heckled by the local media, but it sounded like he had a rough year last year, right? His family was away and now he's kind of settled in and life is kind of back to normal. And I think just that mental side of the game, he's way better this year.
Well, and he mentioned too, his family is with him this year where he wasn't last year too. So that's, you got COVID stress and your family's across the pond and that can, even as just a regular person can weigh on you. Plus you got the weight of the Edmonton media and fans like us on his back. It doesn't help at all.
No, no. So that's all good to see. Let's go down the highway, down Highway 2 to Calgary, and talk about Jacob Markstrom. And I don't want to give these guys a lot of love. As you know, I can't stand Calgary. But this guy, I mean, he posted his third straight shutout in four starts. In those four games, he's 4-0-0, 0.25 goals against average, and a .992 save percentage. Like, he's been absolutely stellar.
That's all right.
Yeah, pretty good. even when John says that's all right, that's a big nod. That's a big tip of the cap.
I respect you. I don't like you, but I respect you.
Yeah, no, I respect the numbers. That's pretty damn good. That's a guy I would have liked to have seen in Oilers uniform. Maybe not on that contract, but
easy now.
I'm just saying, the way he's playing,
there's better options.
Okay. Like Fleury. Yeah, we'll take Fleury.
I didn't say it.
Anyway, so yeah. You didn't know you were thinking it, though. He's looked good. And you know what? I got to just give some credit to Calgary because they have looked good. That team in six or seven games has been very impressive. So, Doug Warner, if you're listening, yeah, they've been okay.
Well, they're playing the Daryl Sutter style, right? So, it's going to be low scoring and ugly.
Yeah, and you called it, Bruce. You said right away they may not score a ton of goals, but they're going to stop more than they did last year, right? So,
yeah, and Markstrom too, with the whole team focusing on defense, that's why he's got numbers like that. If they were playing like they did last year again, those numbers wouldn't be nearly as good.
And did you guys hear Bieksa on Saturday night? Like, you watched the game against the Canucks, I'm assuming.
No, I didn't watch any game Saturday night.
John, did you watch the game?
I did. Yes. Yes, I Maybe. Did.
You don't remember. Too many beers. But Bieksa was just talking about how, you know, you look back to last year's Stanley Cup final. Montreal made it to the final on the fact that they had good goaltending and massive defensemen. Mm-hmm. And what does Calgary have right now? Good goaltending and massive defensemen.
Mm-hmm.
And nasty defensemen, too. Like, good Branson is a piece of work. they brought in Zadorov too. He's the same way, right? Like, he's a chippy guy. He's huge. And you've got Markstrom. Like, yeah, they've got, there's some good pieces there. And even Rasmus Anderson, he's not a big guy, but he plays a hard game.
Yeah.
And now he's on power play one, right? So yeah, there's lots to like in Calgary. If you're from that area, Monahan's even looked better. He finally scored a goal coming off hip surgery and stuff. So, yeah, I'm not a fan, like I said, but for the Battle of Alberta, that's great. Like, if that's a first-round matchup that we get to see and they're both competitive teams and they're playing hard,
it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the rumors is that Calgary is still in on Eichel, so...
I did hear that. It's basically down to Calgary and Vegas from what I've been reading.
So what it's, that's the two that have seemed to have popped up the most from what I've read.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll.
I kind of want to see an Eichel versus McDavid battle of Alberta for some reason. I think it'd be kind of cool.
I think it'd be awesome. See those guys face off like eight times a year plus playoffs.
As long as the Oilers light them up like a Christmas tree, I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah. Agreed. I'm on board. Jakob Silverberg, Jacob Silverberg is in COVID protocol. Ricard Raquel's week to week with an upper body injury.
Ryan Getzlaff can't catch a break.
Yeah. Getzlaff broke the Ducks franchise scoring record with 989 points, which John, I said earlier, we're going to talk about
it.
This actually hurts, John.
Can we just skip this part?
like this physically hurts, John.
I don't know. Whoever put out that poll out there that said that Ryan Getzlaff was the greatest Duck of all time could get lost, because it's...
Did you find it?
No, I didn't. I was too angry to do it. I was like, there is no way people pick him over Timu or Kuria, because let's face it, the guy couldn't even put up like 30 goals a season, so...
Okay, so for our listeners and for Bruce, who you weren't there this afternoon, we were chatting, but someone on Twitter put out a poll, who is the greatest duck of all time? And it was Teemu Selanne, Paul Kariya, Ryan Getzlaf, or other. And I think it was pretty handily, it was Getzlaf. Like, he was at 40% or something. Yeah, I think Teemu was second.
Pure trash.
We had a good chuckle anyway, and I just said, okay, well, I'll get to talk about it later. I mean, so if you guys also believe that someone other than Getzlaf should be the is the best duck of all time, let us know. Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram. Quickly, the other thing here, Victor Arvidsson and Gabe Vilardi are also in COVID protocol. At this point, it's almost easier to say who's not on the list, but FYI.
I think we basically need to list it like right at the start and just say these guys are in COVID protocol and then go from there.
And then not talk about it again for the rest of the episode.
I was going to say, just say the same thing. It's like, we just need to have a COVID list at one point during the podcast and just list everybody that's in and that's out. And
we'll do that next time, boys.
We should make it a segment.
Yeah. We'll get a sponsor for it and everything. Talk about COVID protocol brought to you by
rapid testing.
COVID. And then who you would. Yeah. Someone that does rapid testing.
We'll find someone who sells those rapid test kits. I'm going to sponsor a segment. Now we're thinking. The big news today was Cole Caufield being re-signed to the AHL. And, you know, a lot of people, there's Facebook groups and people on Twitter and everything just asking and saying, hey, like, should I drop Cole Caufield or I drop Cole Caufield? This is a big blow for people. Like, he was drafted on average at 102.9. So if you had taken him as one of your top 100 picks, you're pretty upset right now. You know, you're just not going to lose the league, but that's a pretty big hit, right?
Well, Canadians so far this year have been an absolute train wreck. So there's no point in having him stay along with the train wreck where he can go down to the AHL and be productive.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. Just the way that team is trending, he needs to go down and build up his confidence again.
Yeah, because staying with the big club isn't going to help it.
Yeah. No, and rookies are tricky, right? Like, they're a gamble. You can take a shot on them, but man, you're going to, like, you're risking a pick, right? Essentially, unless it's one of your last one or two picks, I'm not touching rookies before then.
Yeah, and he's still really young, so a little bit of time in the AHL I don't think is going to hurt him at all.
No. Sorry. For this episode, we're just going to keep jumping in and out. So Mark Scheifele, out of COVID protocol. I am curious to see, how does that affect Pierre-Luc Dubois? Like, is his fantasy value going to take a big hit, or is he kind of proven enough so far that they're going to try to keep him engaged and keep him involved in as much of the play as possible? Because he's been really good along with Kyle Connor to start the year.
I think it'll take a bit of a hit, but not a whole lot.
Yeah, you're not dropping Pierre-Luc Dubois just because Scheifele's back.
Not a chance. Absolutely. No. Like...
Just kidding. Don't
John,
don't
listen, let me
know. Just let me know which league you're dropping him in, John. I'll be right there to pick him up.
Yeah. And I'll be either right behind or in front of you, Bruce, depending on the waiver wire. No. What else? I think that covers the news this week, guys. The other thing, too, is Chris Letang is now out of COVID protocol, too. So, looks like Pittsburgh's finally rounding into form. They're going to get some bodies back, and hopefully the rest of their season goes a bit better. And with that, let's move on to some listener questions, because we got a handful of these. So thank you to everyone that submitted questions. I enjoy doing this. I hope, John, Bruce, you guys like doing this too. I think it's good conversation and for our listeners to get some answers to the questions they've got. So let's kick it off. Who would you pick? David Pastrnak or Alexander Barkov in a standard fantasy categories league?
Ooh.
And John, we'll start with you.
You just had to do that, hey?
Yep.
I'm going Pasta. Just based on history, track record, the guy's money every year, and I got no reason to shy away from it. Barkov's a fantastic player, but yeah, no, I'm still sticking with Pasta.
Okay, Bruce?
I'm going to change this a bit. I'm going to put a bit of a what if into this. So if it's a redraft league, I'd probably go Pastrnak. If it's a keeper league, I would go with Barkov. Just because right now, I think Barkov in the long term is going to have, well, better and younger line mates. Pastrnak's line mates are getting older, and there is nobody to replace Marchand and Bergeron in Buffalo right now. So for right now, it's probably Pastrnak, but going for the future, it's Barkov.
Yeah, and that was kind of like, I had some similar thoughts on that, Bruce. Like I said, Pastrnak was my initial reaction, just given that I think he is, like, the shot volume is better. He scores more goals, obviously. And he does play on that top line that's just been fantastic. But yeah, if it's a keeper league situation, obviously, like you said, those two guys, they're getting older. They're not gonna be around forever. And Florida's just kind of the sexy pick right now, right? So there's a lot of appeal there for fantasy owners, just given that Florida
started so hot. Their top nine is dangerous, very dangerous in Florida.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess our answer would be Pastrnak, but for the time being, and in a redraft. But yeah, for keeper league, I mean, Barkov may have more long-term appeal. And actually, I had a similar question. I don't think I included it in here, but it had to do with, there was a trade request. It was, it was Taylor Hall. Would you trade Taylor Hall for Jake Guentzel? I said, well, yeah, absolutely. And part of my answer there was line mates. Because yeah. I don't like Taylor Hall's line mates this year.
No, not with Krejci being gone. No, it's
right. So now he's playing with Coyle and Craig Smith, which, you know, Craig Smith was good last year. But yeah, like, yeah, David Krejci was the guy that stirred the drink on that line last year. All right, let's go on to the next one here. The listener is considering dropping Jack Hughes for Jeff Petrie or John Klingberg.
No.
Would you drop Jack Hughes for either? And if so, which player and why?
No, just don't do it.
I think the answer to that is
don't just
no.
Do it.
Just no. Yeah.
Don't do it. Request denied. Don't do it.
Yeah. I pretty emphatically just told him, no, absolutely not. Like, hold on to Hughes any way you can. I said, if there's another player you can drop on your roster, maybe try that. But I mean, Jeff Petrie has not been good this year. Like, nobody has on Montreal. And we just talked about we gave our thoughts on John Klingberg last week, right? I don't know why you drop Hughes for either player at this point.
Yeah. I love Klingberg, but I'm sorry, I'm not dropping Hughes to pick him up. No.
No. Okay, we're all on board there. Listeners in a deep competitive 12-team league, would it be wise to drop Jamie Drysdale for either Evan Bouchard or Shane Gostisbehere? If so, which do you prefer, or would you stick to Jamie Drysdale? So, I mean, right away, yeah, drop Drysdale as far as I'm concerned. Again, it's one of those rookie situations. He's kind of been slow to start. Anaheim's not a great team. Shattenkirk's actually been eating a lot of penalty or power play minutes in Anaheim. And Bouchard's been glued to Nurse's hip on that top pair in Edmonton. So the points haven't really been there yet for Bouchard. He's not putting up huge production, but he's getting a lot of time on ice, and he's on a great line 5-on-5. And Gostisbehere, guys, I think he's just been good on the power play. Like, he's playing 16 to 18 or 19 minutes, but he's getting a lot of power play time. So Bruce, what's your take there?
Yeah, I was high on Drysdale at the beginning of the season just because of opportunity, right? So at least according to Daily Faceoff, he's still on the first power play unit, but it's Anaheim, right? They're not scoring Raquel and Silverberger out, so it's just dropping like a rock, right? So
yeah.
Is Bouchard's next to Nurse? Is he going to get power play time? Probably not, but playing on a better team that's going to score a ton, you're probably going to be better off points-wise down the road with Bouchard.
And again, if the question too, is it a keeper league or is it a redraft league? And if it's a keeper league, that's a tough question too, I think. But there's probably a better immediate return on Bouchard as opposed to Drysdale.
I would think so, yes.
He's just further along in his development.
Yeah. And Gostisbehere, is it a resurgence or not? I don't know. He's... in Arizona, so it's tough to say. I was surprised to see him supplant Chychrun after the contract that Chychrun signed, but I don't know.
This is interesting, Bruce. Did you know Bouchard and Drysdale both have the same number of power play points with two?
This season?
Yep. Yep.
That's awesome.
And Bouchard in two fewer games. Bouchard is still on pace for 41 points. Drysdale on pace for 25. They both got 20 shots. Bouchard's a plus two as opposed to a minus 12 for Drysdale. So if you do play in a plus minus league, or the count, a league that counts that category, you're going to stay away from Drysdale.
I'm leaning more. At the beginning of the season, I would have said Drysdale by a landslide, but after being here, what, 9 games in, I would drop him for Bouchard in a heartbeat.
Okay. Let's move on to our next question here. Actually, I guess, John, do you have a take on just either player? Do you agree with Bouchard, or do you like Goss or Spare? Are you going to stick with Drysdale?
I like Bouchard. Goss to Spare is looking good because he's on a bad team, in my opinion. And Drysdale, I just haven't seen it from him. So I'm sticking with Evan Bouchard. I like the way he's played, and that's that, I guess.
Old dad, he's getting it done.
Yep.
Okay. It's early in the season, but the Habs look absolutely lifeless. When is it appropriate to give up on Cole for Calder Fad?
So, I think that's dead.
Right. Yeah.
It's dead.
That ship has sailed.
That ship has sailed.
And that's an interesting question, actually, is so, you know, 9 or 10 games in, who's your pick for the Calder right now?
Why you got to do us like that?
Well, I'll just say right now, like, it'd be Lucas Raymond for me, probably, or Moritz Seider. Yeah.
That's what I meant.
It's for me, it's one of those two guys.
Yeah, because they're they're both 1-2 in like rookie scoring, right?
Yeah,
just taking the easy way.
And
out.
I mean, well, but you could make it like what Seider's doing is incredible because he's getting top pairing minutes, top power play. And last I checked, his analytics were good. Like his possession numbers were actually he wasn't sinking, right? Yeah. So what he's done has been impressive. But then you look at Lucas Raymond. What was the stat the other day? He was the first Red Wing rookie to put up 4 points in a game since was it Yzerman or Shanahan? Well, one of them, right? Like it was a pretty impressive stat. So yeah. You can make a case for either. But Bruce, who would be your pick?
For me, it'd be right now. It'd be Snyder.
Okay, and John, you're going Snyder.
Almost a point per game, like you said, top line, top pair. So that's where I'm at right now.
Snyder for Calder.
Yeah, I'll take Snyder for Calder.
Let's just make it unanimous. Let's just make it bad podcast content.
Well, I was really hoping to take a goalie, but I can't.
Who'd you even take right now?
Well,
so other than Seider and Raymond, who else is really doing anything?
Nobody. I already looked.
Yeah, there's not. Like, I'd have to go look on NHL.com. I don't even know.
Yeah. Like, Janot has 5 points. Seider has 8. Raymond has 9. And then you have Bunting, O'Connor. Yeah, it's... Although Janot has 4 goals, so he's definitely good at putting the puck in the net, but apparently he doesn't like to pass, so.
Well, I guess Bowen Byram's on that list too, right? He's got 5 points.
Yeah, he's been solid too.
Like, he's looked good. Trevor Zegras, actually, in his last 4 or 5 games, like, I think he's averaging 19 minutes a game. So they're actually giving him first line minutes now, and he had been productive in his last game or two, so he might, like, he's going to have to make up some ground, obviously. It's early in the season. But yeah, to answer the listener's question, Cole for Calder is dead at this point in time.
The ship has sailed and it sunk getting out of the harbor.
Yes, what Bruce said. This one is interesting. I think I threw it out to you guys through the group chat. Based on a bet, a listener has the opportunity to grab one of Elias Lindholm, Kirill Kaprizov, or Patrick Kane, but he has to drop one player from his roster, Mitch Marner, Sean Couturier, or Artemi Panarin. Who would you select and who would you drop? And John, because you and I had talked about it previously already, I'll go to you first.
Well, first you take Patty Kane. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that one. As for who I would drop, we are going to go with... it's a tough one. Let's say Mitch Marner, because he's just been poor and that whole Leafs team's been poor and there's no real good way to say it.
Okay, so you're basically doing Kane for Marner?
I'm doing Kane for Marner, and just a word of advice, when you do get Kane, don't leave him on your bench because it's just a bad time. And it makes you want to cry.
Oh, yeah, it's just not a good idea. Okay, Bruce, who are you dropping and who are you picking up?
Again, I guess for my pick would depend on what kind of a league it is, because if it's a redraft league, I'm probably taking Patrick Kane and probably dropping Couturier. But if it's a keeper league, it would be Kaprizov.
Get real.
And you know what the sad thing is about...
It's all right. Inside voice.
Sorry, Bruce. Continue.
Yeah. And the sad thing is when you look at the stats right now, Couturier has more points than Panarin and Marner combined.
Yeah, I don't know if I drop Couturier. Like, I really like that player.
Like, based on NHL stats right now, it'd be Marner that would be gone.
Yeah.
But based on history, it'd be Couturier.
Okay, go ahead, Bruce.
Because both Panarin and Marner have done very little so far this season. Very little.
Okay, so far this season, I'm just going to compare Couturier and Marner really quick. Couturier's got 9 points in 7 games with 3 goals. Marner has 3 points and 1 goal in 9 games. Couturier is on pace currently for 105 points. Marner's on pace for 27.
That's a great way to spend $10
million. Yeah, no, it's not. Yeah, what's the math on that? $10 million per goal? Pretty easy math, right? 1 goal. God. Even strength points for Couturier, he's got 5 already. Marner's got 3. Marner's actually been shooting quite a bit. He's got 26 shots on goal compared to Couturier's 18. But here's the thing too, Bruce, you and I talked about faceoffs. If the league includes faceoffs, Couturier becomes instantly more valuable because he's already at a 60% faceoff win percentage. Like he's won 61 faceoffs already through 7 games. So yeah, I'd almost be tempted. Like, I know it's silly to draw Marner, but I might be on board with that.
He's the least productive by a lot.
Yeah, if we're just looking at numbers right now, it'd be Marner. But, and then, yeah, as far as who I'm picking up.
It's Patty Kane, but like John said, don't leave him on the bench.
Yeah, I like Kane. And actually, but Lindholm's been really good too. Like, I can't take anything away from Elias Lindholm. He's been very, very good. And John, you're rolling your eyes, but
must be that Calgary thing.
It's like I think Calgary, it's the Calgary Twitch thing. But he's got 7 goals in 8 games, 10 points, 4 power play points. He's on pace for 103 points. Again, it's early, so don't take too much stock in that. But he's been good, and his 3-year average is 34 and 34. So. Not saying I take him over Kane necessarily, but he's not a bad pick either, in my opinion.
No, and Kaprizov hasn't scored a goal yet this season. He's all assists.
Overrated.
Yeah. Well, John, you said it weeks ago.
I stand by it.
Yeah, you're just patting your back. Is your back sore yet from all the patting yourself on the back? Is it?
I don't even know how to respond to that. Yeah, okay.
Okay, we'll move on then. We'll move on. Last question here. Should I trade Victor Hedman and Tom Wilson for Patrick Kane?
Yes.
strictly a points only league, and the listener would then pick up Josh Morrissey or Moritz Seider. So obviously I just corrected him there. I said, don't touch Morrissey. If you can grab Seider, go grab Seider.
If you can trade Hedman and Wilson for Kane and then pick up Seider off the waiver wire, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, absolutely. Yeah, I can't remember which listener it was, but if you're listening to the episode, yeah, definitely if that's still an option for you, take Kane for Hedman and Wilson and go grab more Seider.
Absolutely. If Seider's still available in your league, go get him.
I don't even, what's his, should check his percentage. I would assume it's not very low anymore, but he's 55% owned. So, that'll, I mean, there's change. A chance he's still available out there somewhere.
Not in our leagues.
Not in any of our leagues, no. Well, I grabbed him, I think, in all three of them, or two of them anyway. Yeah, I bug you guys about being the president of the fan club. I'm pretty much the president of the Moritz Seider fan club at this point.
Oh, so you're...
Okay, so now...
So you're going to go buy a jersey, are you?
I'm going to go buy a jersey. Now is probably a good time to let our listeners know that the Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast is a proud partner of NHLShop.ca. For all your officially licensed NHL merchandise, follow the links in our show notes or on our website. From jerseys and hats to socks, clocks, and more, NHLShop.ca is the best source for NHL apparel and merchandise. Visit the store today to see current promotions and offers. Terms and conditions apply. Full disclosure, Fantasy Hockey Hacks may receive a small commission for your purchase, which helps us to continue providing original content. And this is where Tyler would say, does it? Okay. And so then I didn't have time to work on a button or anything, a sound effect, but we're going to move on to edge work. So Tyler, again, we're bugging me about making a button.
I was going to say edge work.
Edge work? Yeah. I won't give the spiel on that one. We'll just move on to it. NHL schedule week 4. So we've got teams of 4 games, Chicago, Detroit, Nashville, Ottawa, and Vegas.
Ugh.
Yeah, not a whole lot there to really key in on. Nashville was kind of the one for me. I know you guys probably don't love it, but Duchesne, Johansson, and Granlund have all been pretty good to start the year. They've definitely exceeded expectations based on last year, and Duchesne is one of the guys we'll talk about in our waiver wire pickups. Even if just for this week, they've got 4 games, right? So something to look at there.
They would have the most available players to pick up too.
Yes.
The good ones for Chicago, Detroit, Ottawa, and Vegas are long gone. Well, Vegas is on IR, so it's...
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see who steps up there. Like, there's lots of guys you're going to have to start playing more minutes, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, Dadonov and Riley Smith, who we talked about previously, are both still available out there in quite a few leagues. Yeah, so take a look at those guys. Detroit, they're 4-2-2. They've been impressive, like we've said before. Greiss and Nedeljkovic could be options in goal this week. I think they're available in 2 or 3 of our leagues that we play in, Bruce and John. So if you're looking for goaltender help, those guys might be an option. Like, Greiss has been pretty good the last year or two. Even on a bad Detroit team, he's still put up pretty good peripherals.
Mm-hmm.
Teams with 3 games... There's quite a few here. It's in the show notes if you guys want to take a look. It's most of the league. There's teams with 2 games here. We got Boston, Carolina, Columbus, Colorado, Florida, LA, and Pittsburgh. And then the teams we haven't mentioned have 3 games. So right away we'll talk about Arizona plays Philadelphia, Anaheim, and Seattle next week. So basically target players from those teams. Philly, Anaheim, Seattle. If you can target those games against Arizona, you're going to be laughing. The Yotes, at the time of writing, were tied with Chicago for the most goals against per game at 4.5. Similar logic you could follow with Chicago, right? They've got, they play Ottawa, Carolina, Winnipeg, and Nashville. So again, take a look at those teams. St. Louis appears to have the most favorable schedule for next week with matchups against LA, San Jose, and Anaheim. Both Jordan Kyrou Jordan Kyrou and Robert Thomas are options to consider, particularly Thomas, who's just 5% owned, and he has 6 points in his last 5 games played. And if your league includes faceoffs, he does cover off faceoffs as well. There's 3. And then so for teams with two games, I'm probably looking at Carolina's matchup against Arizona. They've only got two games, right? But one against Arizona is pretty good odds. They're going to put up some points there. Boston plays Detroit and Toronto, who are giving up 3.25 goals against per game and 3.13 goals against per game, respectively. As far as players you pick up from Boston, maybe Matt Grzelcyk, Charlie Coyle is probably still available out there, Craig Smith. Not great options, but if they're playing against some lesser competition, might be someone to look at. Any other thoughts there, guys, from the NHL schedule for week four?
No, I think you got it covered there.
Okay. Good stuff. Let's move on to week four waiver wire targets. Excuse me. So as we've said in the past, waiver wire targets, we focused on players with ownership of approximately 50% or less. There are some exceptions, as we mentioned before. So we'll kick it off here with Troy Terry from Anaheim. He's currently 11% rostered. He's got three games next week against New Jersey, Arizona, and St. Louis. And he's currently playing on that top line with Getzlaff, John's favorite player, and Adam Henrique. So I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to what Troy Terry's been doing. He's been good so far through eight games this season. He's actually leading the Ducks in Corsi for percentage. He's second on the team with 56.53 expected goals for. He's fourth for individual scoring chances for with 22. And he's got 9 points, 4 goals in 8 games. So he's been incredibly productive, and he actually played over 22 minutes on Friday night against Vegas. Pretty impressive production for a guy that's 11% owned, I'd say.
Very good. You won't be 11% owned for long.
No, and actually, that was the time of writing. I should check again, because I almost guaranteed that number is going to be higher. Yes, as of right now, he's 26% owned. And likely by tomorrow, that'll be higher too. So,
especially if he keeps scoring, or even getting points, it'll keep going up.
Yeah. Drake Batherson, we've got here, right wing from Ottawa. He's 60% owned, so again, we're kind of stretching the rules there a little bit, but they do play 4 times against Chicago, Minnesota, Vegas, and Tampa. He's on that first line with Norris and Tkachuk. What are your thoughts? Bruce, is Batherson on your list, or are you gonna, or someone you consider if he's still available in your league?
If he's still available, I'm definitely considering it. That top line for Ottawa is, well, it's the only line that's probably going to score the bulk of goals for them this year. He was good last year, and he's looked improved so far this year. So if he's available, I'd grab him.
Yeah, and I didn't realize he hits as much as he does. Like, he's put up 18 hits so far this season. It's 2.57 hits per game. So if you're in a bangers league, provide some coverage there. Points, goals, top power play, shots on goal. He covers a lot of categories, right?
For sure.
Okay, let's talk about Matthew Shane. He's 13% owned currently. He plays 4 games this week, like we mentioned. A lot of fantasy GMs left him for dead, and with good reason last year.
Yep.
What else do you say, right? He was terrible last year. He had 13 points in 34 games last season.
Ouch.
Yeah. It was a career low for him last year. It did not look good. This year, he's up to, I think it's 5 points in 9 games. Check my stats here. It's in the notes. But, he's looking better. He's on pace for about 50 points. His shot volume is up to 3.3 per game, which is well up from where it'd been in the past 3 years. He's already matched his power play point total from last year with 3. So, and a lot of this has to do with Nashville stacking their top line. They've got Forsberg, Johansson, and Duchesne all playing on the top line.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're all getting top power play time too. So at 13% owned, he's dual eligible, plays center, right wing, covers off faceoffs as well. Somebody you want to take a look at.
Especially this week, if you need a streamer. Yep.
Yeah, I did actually pick him up in one league. I think it was our Yahoo League, Bruce.
Yahoo,
which I'm doing okay in right now, Bruce.
Yeah, I see that. You bumped in first place.
I don't know how, but anyway. Oh, probably because I have Markstrom on my team. That's how that happened. Let's talk about Victor Olofsson. And maybe, Bruce, you want to talk about him because I know you've been a fan of his in the past.
Yeah, so Olofsson's playing on the top line here with Thompson and, oh God, I'm going to butcher this name. Asplund?
Yeah, Asplund, I think.
it's only like six letters.
Okay. Asland? I don't know.
I butchered it, so we'll just move on. So, currently top 15 line league-wise in terms of that goals for?
Expected goals for percentage.
Such weird acronyms.
Dear God, I need a translation kit to read this.
You're not supposed to read it, Bruce. You're supposed to know it.
Just off the top of your head.
This looks like I'm programming in Python, not reading a fantasy hockey show notes.
Oh, man. It's yeah, anyway, so it's a good predictor of future production, but yeah, they're top 15 right now league-wide, which is pretty good.
Anyway, Olofsson's he put up 9 points here in his last 8 games, 5 goals. He's been playing time on power play one, and of course, Buffalo's top line. So hopefully, he's done well, even though Eichel's gone and Mittelstadt's hurt, so been doing well. Another guy that if you need a late, got a spot. They only play 3 games this week?
Yeah, they get 3 games.
Three?
Yeah, San Jose, Seattle, and Detroit. So then, of course,
he'd be worth an ad for those 3 games.
What's that?
He'd be worth an ad for those 3 games.
Oh, definitely. And then we, of course, included Rasmus Asplund, who is on that line, and he's only 1% rostered. Excuse me. And he is tri-eligible. There's not a lot of guys in Yahoo right now that I've seen that are tri-eligible. So that's a bonus for Rasmus Asplund. Similar thing, like just he's been productive. He's got 6 points, 4 goals in his last 6 games. He's getting top power play, top line usage. He also leads the Sabres in individual expected goals for at 2.29. It's going to be interesting to see how his deployment is impacted when Mittelstadt returns. And then somebody else has got to talk about Andrew Mangiapane because I've talked way too much about the Flames.
I was just thinking that. I was like, man, he's going to fire that off to someone else because he does not want to talk about them.
No, I don't. Somebody else can do it. John, go
ahead, John.
Andrew Mangiapane, rostered 63% in Yahoo, so he's a little higher than the 50%, but we'll let that slide. 3 games this week, Nashville, Dallas, and also the Rangers. And on a line with the third line with Dubé and Richie. He's played really well this year. He's got 7 goals in 8 games played. He's only playing 14 and a half minutes a night, but he's getting some power play time in there. And he's put up points. And he's been great. We know that he's not going to hold that pace for the year, but as of right now, he's definitely a good pickup, and he'll get you some points for sure.
Thanks, Sean. Feel much better. this guy I could talk about is Alex Killorn. We mentioned him previously, but he's getting top line, top usage for Tampa. He's left wing, right wing eligible. He's rostered in 55% of Yahoo leagues. 3 games this week against Washington, the struggling Toronto Maple Leafs, and the Ottawa Senators. He's playing with Point and Cirelli, which I don't know if those are pretty good teammates in my estimation. So he's been very productive with 9 points in 8 games played. He's currently on pace for 92 points. He's a guy you want to take a look at. And then this one, JT Compher. I was surprised to see how well he's been playing for the Avalanche. He's center, right wing eligible. He's only 20% rostered. They do only have 2 games played next week against Columbus. Well, both games against Columbus, so home and home. He's playing on the third line with Jost and Kaut. I'm totally going to butcher that name, but he's on the third line for the Avalanche, and he's been basically cemented to the top power play. So just looking at his stats here, 356 power play time on ice. 1956 time on ice so far this season. His shot volume's 2.5 shots a game. he's been very productive. So I'm just going to pull his stats real quick, guys. I don't remember exactly how many points he's put up to date, but it's been good. He's got he's point per game. So 8 points, 4 goals.
I feel like everybody in this league is a point per game now.
Like, seems like it.
If you're not
it,
a
yeah.
point per game, you're trash.
John's hot take for the night. We got a couple defensemen here. This one, I mean, I'm almost more inclined just to recommend Kevin Shattenkirk at this point, given that he's a point per game. He's got 10 points in 10 games played. But Ryan Suter, this was kind of earlier in the week when we were looking at players, and he's on that top pairing with Miro Heiskanen. He is getting some power play time. He's averaging 23.35 time on ice, and he's also getting 2.14 on the power play per game, so 56.5% power play share. The production's been limited to this point. I think he's only got a few points, but when, you know, 5-on-5, when you're playing on the top line and you're also getting some power play time, it's probably worth looking, especially in deeper leagues. He'll cover off some blocks for you and some things like that. So if you're desperate for a D-man, you probably could do worse than Ryan Suter. And then the other one is Rasmus Anderson. And Bruce, maybe you just want to talk to him or talk about him a little bit, because you had mentioned him once or twice in the past year.
Yeah, I kind of been a bit since the beginning of the season. So, excuse me. Are you playing on the top pair with Hanifin? Is that what I...
He's on the top pair for sure. I'm not sure if it's with Hanifin still or not, but...
Yeah. He's getting power play one time, so... And he's put up a few points already this season. 6 assists, 4 power play points. 62-point pace for... Oh, that's really nice.
Bruce is picking him up off the waiver right now.
Bruce is like, I'm not telling you guys.
Well, I have him... I already have him in two leagues, so...
Well, then.
I drafted him in two leagues. I figured this would happen, so...
Bruce knew. Nostradamus himself.
Yeah.
So, yes, we like Rasmus Anderson anyway. He's and 3 games played this week, eh? Nashville, Dallas, and the Rangers.
Looks good.
Yeah, so grab Rasmus Anderson if you can. And then we've got a few goaltenders here to talk about. One, obviously, we talked about Mikko Koskinen earlier. He's 53% owned. He's got 3 games this week. The numbers have been good. He's won 4 or 5 starts so far. Looks like he's in good shape to win his fifth start, or his fifth, get his fifth win in 6 starts. And then he's got a 2.26 goals against average and a .934 save percentage. Obviously, we all know Mike Smith's going to come back. It's going to eat into his playing time. But for the time being, he's definitely a good guy to look at. This one, I didn't think I was ever going to mention in fantasy again. And that's Craig Anderson.
Right?
No kidding, eh?
I'm shocked. Both for the fact that he's on Buffalo and the fact that it's Craig Anderson. Like, he's 30% rostered. They've got 3 games this week, but he has looked very, very good. Buffalo's off to their hot start, 5-1-1 record. They're only the second team in the division, in the Atlantic Division, with a positive goal differential at +9. The Buffalo Sabres.
Incredible.
Yeah, we all. I would have never guessed that Buffalo would have done what they've done. Never.
No, it's mind-boggling. Like, no Eichel, no Mittelstadt.
Jack Eichel's just bad news.
Yeah, you might be onto something there, John. But as far as Anderson's concerned, like, he's done fantastic. He's posted a 4-1 record with a 1.9 goals against average and a .939 save percentage. And 2012. Was the last time you would have seen his name next to a .930 save percentage. So whatever he's done in the offseason is working really well for him. And I think at this point, if you're looking for a streamer, at least you have to consider him for as long as Buffalo's playing well.
Yeah, well, for sure you
definitely.
Do.
For sure.
And then we mentioned Thomas Greiss earlier. He's only 21% rostered. They've got 4 games this week. His peripherals actually don't look great right now. He's got a 3.11 goals against average and a .905 save percentage, which basically is average at best. But those numbers are inflated based on 2 games. It was 2 bad starts, 1 against Montreal and 1 against Toronto, where the Red Wings gave up 5 goals. So I'd expect more out of him, but I mean, low ownership and the Red Wings are playing well right now. And then the last one here, guys, is James Reimer. He's just 14% rostered. So we were on the podcast last week talking about Aiden Hill, and or I guess maybe I was. You guys were kind of laughing at me.
I was like, yeah, I don't remember saying anything good about him.
But you know what? James Reimer, 14% owned. He's quietly been impressive for the Sharks. He's got a 1.13 goals against average and a 964 save percentage through four games. And as long as the entire roster isn't in COVID protocol, you know, I feel pretty good about James Reimer as a streamer. But what do you guys think?
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's San Jose is, again, another team that's playing a lot better than we thought they would here to start the season. So,
yeah, no question. Okay, so that's waiver wire picks this week. Week four preview.
I would just like to add that my guy Fleury has had two very good games. Only got one win out of it, but he had two very good games. And he's got four games this week with Chicago. The one today went fantastic. So just keep an open mind on that one.
So he's on. If he's on their bench, they should maybe consider putting him back. putting him back in the starter position.
You know, I forget to set my lineup like one time, and Patty Kane goes and gets a hatty. So
I'd like to say I feel sorry you for know. You, but I don't. I can't. I'm sorry. Okay, so that's week four waiver wire picks and preview. We do have one more bit of business here to finish off the show, and that's our contest. If you've been following us on social media, you know that we're giving away four tickets. I guess if you listen to the podcast, we've mentioned it. Four tickets to the Oilers and Nashville game on Wednesday, November 3rd. So it's going to be a little bit short notice here, guys. We do apologize, but four seats at a Loge table and a parking pass to Wednesday's game. Our winner, I'm just going to look it up here again. His name is... Yeah, drum roll, please. Nathan Uchak. And I probably butchered that, Nathan. I'm sorry if you're listening. Bruce.
So much excitement in that one.
Bruce, did I Bruce, did I cover that? I don't know.
I couldn't have said it any better myself.
Okay, so that's what we're going to go with. Nathan, we'll reach out to you on social media. We'll get the details to you. And enjoy the game, my friend. Thanks for entering the contest and listening. Thanks to everybody that took the time to, you know, like and share and retweet the posts and follow us on social media. We really do appreciate it. We're going to continue doing more contests. We're coming up to 500 followers on Twitter and Instagram. So maybe we'll do something again once we hit 500 or 1,000. So if you haven't already, go and follow us on Facebook or not Facebook, on Instagram at Fantasy Hockey Hacks, on Twitter at FH Hacks. If you have any questions, comments, or otherwise, please submit your questions to fantasyhockeyhacks@gmail.com. If you want to check out the show notes or anything else we're doing, check out the website at fantasyhockeyhacks.com. And with that, guys, I think we'll wrap it up. It's a good show. Thanks for being here. Tyler, we missed you, but we understand, you know, if you're watching another game, that's all good.
So. I hate to say it, I'm watching it too, because apparently my TV can only pause for so long before it actually starts playing without me being able to stop it. So,
yep. Yep. So, yeah, I've got mine on PVR here. So we better wrap it up quick so John can finish watching the game.
I hate to say it. When you started talking about Mangiapane, I was like, oh, man, I'm watching this game.
All right. Anything else, guys, before we sign off for the week?
John, don't forget to start your lineup.
That's just sound advice. Yeah, just set your lineup.
Because you miss that just one day and you're screwed for the whole week. So.
That sure are. Yeah. Okay. Well,
that's all I got.
Thanks, guys. Alrighty. We'll thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Oh, and Korea's better than Getzlaf.
Good night, everybody.
All right. Take care, everyone.